What would you do if a wandering spirit showed up in your neighborhood and started stalking you? Would you panic or accept this new reality as long as it kept its distance? But what if things took a more violent turn? Today, we test the believability of the Fort Collins Wraith.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. You started that really fast. like really fast. Like they don't know because of the editing process.
I want to
get just
into
heard
this.
The intro music.
I have no idea what this is. I'm super excited.
Normally we say the questions. Normally we say the questions and we're like, ah. And then we sit back for a moment and we're like, oh, I didn't know that was what the topic was.
We admire ourselves, but I'm just like,
he's
really
just jumping
into this.
Right in. Yeah. So how much do you know about wraiths?
Not a thing.
I didn't either, actually, until this listener submission came in. Which, first of all, let me say thank you, Colin, who sent this in, for your patience, because this has been in the drive for a long time.
Ooh, you got to dust it off?
I had to dust it off. I don't clean. So I don't,
you got to blow like an N64 container, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I should clean more. I was gonna say a duster.
Sometimes
I'll just start a sentence like that and I'll just trust that I'll have a quick something, but I don't have my well of cleaning materials isn't deep enough. I wasn't able to dirt devil. That's not what you dust with.
I cook in my house. I don't clean.
Same. Yeah. Anyway, it is listener submission time. Love these because they're personal.
Oh, you can feel them in your spine.
Yeah, all the way from Fort Collins, Colorado. Have you ever been to Colorado?
No. Beautiful place,
though. I like how you said that, like you know, because you don't. I want to go, though. I want to go to Colorado. I want to go to Red Rocks.
The
venue.
My favorite podcast is doing a live show there.
I know, and they shout out Dave Matthews.
They do.
How amazing. You can say it.
Last podcast on the left. Oh, yeah. I just want to give him a kiss on the mouth.
Yeah, and me too, just for the shout out to Dave Matthews. But I do really want to go to Red Rocks. If we ever played there, I'd probably die.
Same, just because.
But I would die afterwards. Like, I would experience it, and then I would probably die.
On stage, I go down.
Right. So, are you ready to jump into this listener submission experience?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Okay. So this takes place, obviously, in Fort Collins, Colorado, and it takes place around 2017-2018.
Where is Fort Collins locationally?
Colorado.
Okay. But like,
in the state. Like, picture the state, and now picture a random dot inside of it.
Is it about, like, Denver? Do you have any idea?
Let's find out.
Okay.
So we just checked, and Fort Collins. God, the story is by Colin, and the location is Fort Collins.
Oh, that's confusing.
I do. And his dog's name is Cash. There's a lot of C's up in here.
Oh, God.
But it's north of Boulder. It's north of Denver. It's just south of Wyoming. And by just south, it could be like 400 miles. I don't know. On my phone, when I looked at it, it looked like it was just south of Wyoming.
My favorite old man show called Longmire takes place in Wyoming.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
They didn't go to Fort Collins?
I think they might have gone through there.
Yeah,
actually.
I feel like it's close enough where if you miss your exit and you have to keep going on the highway, you might end up at Fort Collins. Anyway, in Fort Collins, in Colorado, north of Boulder, Colin moved into a cul-de-sac that had... I'm always going to put a T in cul-de-sac. I know it's called duh. I'm reading it. It's called duh. I know, but I say cul-de-sac. So just accept that. So he moved in cul-de-sac, had a few duplexes, and he lived on the second floor with a few friends, Patrick and Sydney. And overall, the area was fairly rural. It was close to a state park, and where he was living specifically was on the edge of Fort Collins. He said each of the duplexes shared a big courtyard type of, like, open grassy area that didn't have any fences. So everybody's back door just opened up to their own concrete patio. He said overall it was pretty communal. And like I said, he called it a figure eight style cul-de-sac. And just as a point of reference, obviously, in the name of the episode, we're talking about a wraith. He believes that the duplexes were built, or he knows, fairly recently. So he has no suspicion that they would be haunted in the traditional way of it being an old building that has a lot of history and ghosts. Right. Obviously, maybe they built it on an Indian burial ground. I mean, you know, could happen. Probably somebody's probably died on every square inch of this earth, either a human or a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody died somewhere. But it's not that type of traditional haunting.
God, can you imagine a ghost T-Rex?
That would be the most... Raptor or T-Rex would be... Probably those are very stereotypical dinosaurs, but that would be terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
Sorry. What if that's just what earthquakes are? I mean, it's not scientifically, but it's just like when a T-Rex gets enough spiritual energy to take one step, they must hang out in San Francisco. They must be 49ers fans.
Man, I hate to throw us on a tangent, but that's an interesting thought.
That ghost dinosaurs caused the tectonic plates to shift.
Yeah.
That's an episode for another day. So the two friends he moved in with, Sydney and Patrick, were co-workers with him. They worked at a restaurant and they all believe in the supernatural. That's going to be a common theme in this episode. Everybody believes and everybody is like connected with they're very sensitive. Not like me. Maybe probably more than you, but you're more than me.
Okay. Okay. Somewhere in between.
Yes. So Patrick has claimed to see UFOs. And Sydney has her own ghost encounters, so maybe one day she'll submit hers to the podcast.
That'd
and we'll
be
get
cool.
and we'll
That'd
get cool. to it in like 9 months. And I don't know why, but like when like going through this, and we already kind of talked about it with Collins and Colin, like Fort Collins for. And then I see Sydney, I'm like, oh, Sydney, Australia. But and maybe it's because we were talking about SpongeBob. When I see Patrick, it's just like, no, this is Patrick. I don't think there's any place named Patrick. There probably is a city named Patrick.
I'm sure
somewhere.
There's something named Patrick.
Right. But anyway, the restaurant that they worked at was haunted. So they actually have some shared experiences with ghosts in general. So Colin was moving in to the duplex that Sydney had already been staying at, Patrick moving in as well. And obviously, with all this paranormal experience, he naturally was like, yo, so is the duplex haunted? And they were hesitant to say no, but she did say that the guy who used to live in the room that Colin was taking claimed that he experienced pictures move and doors slowly close on their own, along with strange noises. So I think what she meant to say was yes, unless Sydney, Patrick, and Colin are just all so sensitive that like paranormal stuff like pictures moving is just a big old nothing burger, which maybe it is. But to me, that's haunted. But either way, Colin moves in. He's settled in. He's good to go. He's in Colorado, you know, south of Boulder.
The
north
guy
of
that
Boulder.
Used to live there. He was actually hospitalized.
he died. He's still here.
Yeah, yeah.
His ghost is paying rent. So about a month after moving in, Colin found himself awake at the witching hour. And not for creepy reasons, because in the words of Michael Rapaport, Colin goes hard body karate. He wakes up every morning to exercise and work out on his patio. And he's an early riser, so he typically likes to do this no later than 5 a.m.
Good for him.
I feel like this should have dropped, like, January for, like, the New Year's resolution people.
Yeah.
I feel like just talking about that stuff. I mean, there's a little bit of resentment because you kind of hate him a little bit for being such mm-hmm.
Motivated.
Yeah, that's the word.
Good for him, though.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's either you either harbor resentment or... You want to do that. So too bad this didn't come out in January when he sent it to us. Anyway, he performs his workouts, his calisthenics, he waits within the morning, you know, super, super early in this case. And the reason he's up so early at the witching hour is because he was supposed to meet a friend an hour away for a 6 a.m. hike, which is disgusting. I love hiking. You're never going to catch me hiking at 6 a.m.
No. Oh, my God. Well, what if you're camping?
No. If I'm camping and I'm in a tent and I'm uncomfortable and obviously I'm not going back to sleep, then maybe. But it's not. I wouldn't plan it.
Okay.
It would be like, gotcha. I wake up. I can't go back to sleep. I might as well walk around. I wouldn't be like, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and go hiking tomorrow. And then I'm going to go to bed at 4:30 p.m.
Yeah. No, I would not. I would not ever.
No. So Colin is halfway through his workout when he looks across the communal backyard to the places across the street, like you said, cul-de-sac area. And to his surprise, just hovering there in front of a different duplex about 50 yards away, staring directly at him, was a wraith. Now, let me stop here for a second. We will get back to the story. But I figured this would be a good time to actually explain what a wraith is, because it was a good setup.
Yeah.
It's a good setup. Yeah. We got enter entity Wraith. But what good is this episode if we're doing the whole thing and you're like, oh, that's cool. That's creepy. What's a Wraith?
Yeah. What is it? I don't know what I'm speaking for the audience. What is a Wraith?
All right. I was the audience about 24 hours ago. So here is what a Wraith is. Now, it's originally from Scottish folklore. Great T. Swift album, by the way. So Wraith is a type of ghost that recently passed, or it feels like it still has unfinished business in this mortal realm. That's one theory. But I will say that the word ghost in Scottish is Wraith. It's pretty much synonymous. Like, if you ask somebody, like, what is a Wraith? And they say, oh, it's a ghost. I think there's more to it than that, which we will get to. But technically, they're not incorrect. That is the Scottish word for a ghost, a Wraith.
Okay. Do you mean, like, Gaelic word for it?
I don't know. Is that what they speak? I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, I just had to look
about this during the Kelpie
episode. I literally just told you that I didn't know Wyoming was above Colorado. I don't know stuff. I'm not cultured. So another theory is that the Wraiths are the outcome of some type of spellcasting or ritual that's gone wrong. Therefore, like, these creatures have their souls ripped out of them by their ritual, and they're unable to advance to the spirit realm, so they're forced to roam the world for eternity. Basically, the only people that might catch a Brown Super Bowl, because they're going to be here forever. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. They're actually looking very good this year. But one way that I saw it explained, which I thought was kind of cool, was like they're an impression of a person. Like the soul, like the person, the humanity has been ripped out, and the impression of that person still exists. Does that kind of make sense a little bit?
Yeah, so like the after image.
Yeah, exactly. Because, we'll get to what they look like, but it's not always clear.
I have a clear image in my head. Well, I wonder if it matches.
We'll see. In either case, they are described as harmful, evil entities. Like, this is not a good thing.
Oh.
Like, there's nothing good about a Wraith.
It's not grandma coming back to say goodbye.
Nope, it's grandma coming back to suck your soul.
Oh.
They're known to take emotions from those nearby and lead to anger and resentment and sorrow. Another really good way of explaining it is they're kind of like a spiritual leech.
I think I'm going to answer my own question with my question.
With the appearance or?
No. Colin, is he Scottish?
I don't know.
Oh, I assume because maybe his name and also Wraith.
What do you mean?
Well, if he was Scottish.
It's a Scottish folklore, but I think it expands beyond that.
Okay. I was just assuming.
I mean, he might be Scottish. I have no idea. That wasn't one of my questions I asked. I don't know how tall he is. There's a lot of things I actually don't know. I don't even know if he's a real person. He could be a bot. Google bot.
That'd be interesting.
So as far as appearance goes, the best way I saw it described was think of it as like a floating skeleton, right? And the draped black cloak is ripped and tattered, floating, no legs. Don't really have a face. Some say that you can catch the skeleton underneath. Others say it's just like a wispy black shadow that's floating. So what exactly do they do and want? I found a really good excerpt from mythology.net.
Okay.
Plug, not a sponsor. I'd like to read. I think it's well stated. Quote, according to lore, some wraiths are parasitic, but not aggressive. They simply look for a host to bond with, human, of course, and they feed off the energy of the person. They don't try to exert their will over the victim. They simply use the host to survive and move on when the host dies. Because remember, they're eternal. They just float around. While there's some wraiths that are fairly docile, this doesn't seem to be the case for the majority of these ghosts. Many wraiths are angered about their condition and the events that led up to them losing their souls. And these wraiths can be incredibly intelligent, and they can sometimes hunt the people and hold grudges against them. And this is done until the soul of the victim is obtained and forced to wander with the wraith for eternity. Unquote.
Wow.
And another article I found, we'll be getting back to Colin's story soon. This article says, wraiths have no real powers on their own. They float around with very little control over the direction until they find a responsive mortal being. Upon finding this person, they meld with the person's mind and fuse into something kind of like possession. With this act of bonding complete, the wraith then begins to exert its control very minutely over the possessed. Most often, the possessed has no idea that they've even been bonded to the wraith, and most die before anything can come of it. Now, there have been cases where the person who's possessed have been able to develop almost demonic-like powers, but for the most part, it's just kind of sucking the energy, the happiness out of you. It's kind of like a Dementor. I know it's not, there are similarities.
I was going to say, the description. Hooded,
black, floating, sucks out happiness and energy, parasitic.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Bad juju, for sure. So that is a short, quick snapshot of what a wraith is. Now that we all know, so now we can jump into the story.
So Colin f***ed up.
Kind of. He didn't do anything wrong, unless he's Scottish, which still isn't doing anything wrong. But it's kind of like when we were talking about sleep paralysis, where it's like, the best thing you can do is not have family that have the symptoms.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, he looked at it, right?
He noticed it looking at him.
Oh, okay.
During his workouts. Maybe he's too buff and handsome.
Yeah, maybe.
And the wraith was like, okay. Anyways, back to the story. So what Colin saw actually fits the bill of a typical wraith pretty well, as we discussed. He saw a solid, black hooded entity with no legs and flowing edges. Now, he couldn't see a face, but he still knew very clearly that it was watching him. So naturally, he was taken aback. But he actually handled it in a very calm way, and he actually said out loud, "Huh, a wraith." Yeah, so he noted it. He looked at it. He's like, okay. But he got to get those gains in, so he finished his workout.
Sure.
He refocused his mind, energy, you know, getting pumping that iron and stuff. But he could still feel the wraith's gaze on him like daggers. So later that day, he mentioned the wraith to his boss. And she suggested that maybe it was just watching him because the wraith wanted to know what was in its territory. What was new? What is this new thing that entered this neighborhood? And it was a simple enough explanation for Colin. It's kind of like, okay, maybe that's the case.
Like a stray cat.
Yep, just like a stray cat.
Mm-hmm.
So a few months later in October, spooky time, things remained pretty consistent. Colin would see the wraith in the distance, you know, cross the street, just sort of watching, but it always kept its distance. It was always a little ways away. But one night, when Colin was with his dog, Cash, and they had gotten home late, Colin started petting him, and they were roughhousing in the snow. Now, I imagine that Cash must be a big dog. I think he's actually sent over pictures. I think we'll have a picture of Cash, which makes me excited. I like dogs. But, so, it must have been a colder October if there was snow. Maybe it snows more.
Colorado.
Is that?
Northern Colorado, yeah.
I mean, snow in October?
Yes.
I thought Ohio was bad. So, as they're play wrestling, and Cash was on top of him, right past the dog, Colin saw the wraith coming from a different direction that he'd never seen him before. And the wraith, which had previously only watched Colin, was darting towards him in a direct, aggressive beeline. Before Colin fully realized what was happening, Cash jumped off of him and ran toward the door. Now, Colin noted that Cash was a dog that hardly ever barked, never really acted out, but he was now waiting for Colin at the door with his hackles going crazy. Do you know what hackles are?
Yeah.
Okay, for the people that don't know, hackles are the hairs that run along the spine on dogs, kind of around the neck. So similar to when a person gets goosebumps, a dog's hackles will stand up. A lot of people think like cats, you know, when the hair goes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely involuntary, and it's a reaction to an adrenaline rush. So whether it be fear, anger, excitement, anything like that. So it's not like, it's completely involuntary. So noticing Cash's behavior and his involuntary response, along with the fact that the wraith was literally dashing towards them, Colin ran to the door, went inside, and he quickly locked it. He took a moment to collect himself, and then he looked out the door's peephole, and he saw the wraith floating in the driveway, staring at the door he had just shut. This marks the first time that Colin really felt any ill intent or fear from the wraith.
It's making my hackles stand up. Ooh, that's creepy.
So a few weeks later, Colin was hanging out with a girl named Brandy. And she, like pretty much everyone else in Colin's life, it seems, is very open to the supernatural. and he tells her about the Wraith. And Brandy says, yeah, I know. I've never seen it, but I can feel something in this house.
What?
And just to clarify, other than the Wraith outside, Colin, Patrick, nor Sydney had ever really felt anything in the house. Remember, they told him it's not haunted.
Yeah, so they're like psychic and she's like super psychic.
Yeah, exactly. So you're picking. Yes, exactly. And then Brandy said, she continued, plus, those people across the street are always watching us.
What?
So Colin mentioned that the duplex across the street, it's empty and it's for rent. No one currently lives there.
Oh, no. Okay. Hold on. Pause. T.
Yeah. Time right. out.
So, okay. Was she just so attuned that she thought the spirits on the other side in the empty duplex were actually people just watching them?
See, that's... Are you asking if she thought there were real people over there?
Yeah.
She was mistaking for ghosts?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Oh, but... Oh, God. Oh,
no.
God.
She... And I... Yeah, she responded and she said, no, I know, but someone is in there attached to the house and watches you in your window late at night.
Oh,
that's freaky though.
Oh
right?
My God. I don't want to meet Brandy.
See, if this was a scary moment, you really don't. If this was a scary moment or a movie, I feel like where your mind went is like the perfect setup where yes. somebody's like, oh, you know, that old guy that sits on his porch, you know, really gives me the creeps. And they're like, no one lives there. You know what I mean? That's a good boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But no, she knew. She knew. Oh, she knows.
I feel like I just got like drenched in like an ice cold bucket.
My hackles, whoa. Man.
Oh, yeah, my hackles.
My hackles. They're bumping, man. Okay, so as freaked out as Colin is, he pretty much accepted that this Wraith is now just a part of his normal life. Okay, so considering what we touched on earlier this episode about Wraiths, might seem like a hard pill to swallow, right? That you're just dealing with this Wraith for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
But Colin admitted in his listener submission writings that he didn't do a ton of research on Wraiths. It was more based on what the entity looked like and what he depicted as a Wraith. So, and I don't know if he's done more research on it now. I hope this episode being the first time he like hears about some of that stuff could be really freaky.
Yeah.
I would assume he's done research since.
Having that much kind of sensitivity, I would assume that as well.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. So fast forward to Christmas time, and Colin was hanging out with a different girl, Caitlin.
Nice.
Who he said is more in tune with the paranormal than Brandy. Which,
what?
Come on, to be honest, that's like leveling up from like a 40 to a 45.
I say, that's like, oh, does she live in the spirit world?
I know. It's like everybody in this story so far. I feel like even Cash, even the dog, is like at least like a wizard level paranormal expert.
He's like, bro, we gotta go inside.
I know. Like, Caitlin's like a guru. Like, I don't know. Does he have any basic ass friends?
Like us.
Yeah, maybe no. He's just above people that aren't sensitive.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to be Colin's friend, you gotta be
sensitive. There's a test. There's a Google Forms test you have to pass.
Yeah, I would not pass it. Like, as soon as this episode's out, he's probably never gonna speak to me again.
Fair. What year is this again?
It's 2017, 2018.
Gotcha, okay.
So Colin told Caitlin about the Wraith. God, Colin, Caitlin, Cash,
mm-hmm.
Fort Collins. A lot of good in this episode.
Yeah.
So he told Caitlin about the Wraith and some of his other paranormal encounters. And Caitlin shared some of her own stories, because she's a guru, and her experiences. And apparently, I wish there was more about this, but there's not. And maybe it's something for another day. She said she had a dream where his dog, Cash, was an actual child and spoke to Caitlin.
Oh.
Now, a dream's a dream. I mean, yes, there's stuff you can take from dreams. Yes, paranormal entities can enter dreams. In the realm of believing that she had a fake dream where she pretended this dog was a human and spoke to him, that's fine. But it, like, believing that she really did have a conversation with Cash in her dreams, the dog.
It's a lot.
I want to hear about that conversation. He's like, so, eating one time a day? Whose idea was that? It's kind of bullshit, don't you think? Love waiting for you to take me outside so I can take a shit. It's a great life. So anyways, it's Christmas Eve. It's romantic time. Colin and Caitlin were hanging out. They were alone listening to some records after dinner. But then they hear a loud bang upstairs. Almost like someone dropped a dumbbell or something heavy like that. So cautiously, they, along with Cash, go upstairs and investigate.
That's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's literally Scooby-Doo.
But they don't find anything.
Okay.
So Caitlin suggests that they turn off the music, turn off the lights, and they meditate on this wraith. Which they do.
What side is she on?
I know what. She's Team Wraith. He just doesn't know. But nothing happens. They try reaching out. They try meditating on it. And nothing happens the rest of that night. The next day, Caitlin and Colin went for a hike. And they found a fully intact deer spine and pelvis.
Ooh.
And Caitlin loved it so much that Colin hauled it back to his home. And he put it in some buckets in his garage to clean before she took them home. Now, if anybody listening needs a step back, I did. So I asked him about that. And so just to clarify, Caitlin and Colin no longer see each other. So after that breakup happened, he got rid of the bones. I asked him if he found it unusual that she wanted the bones.
Yeah.
And he said no, he didn't. Because one, the deer skeleton in general is just cool on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And two, supposedly, they're very beneficial and medicinal for spiritual witchcraft. So he thought it would be like a valuable talisman for her.
Okay, I got you.
But for the timeline of this story, they're sitting in buckets in his garage.
Okay, the bones.
Yes. So a few days after bringing the deer skeleton home, Colin was getting back late. And as he was walking to his door from the car, he felt the wraith rushing behind him. His number one instinct was to prevent the wraith from entering his home. So he ran to the door and he quickly shut it. He felt relief and safety for a moment, but his mind was racing that it got in the garage. The words kept circulating over and over again in his head. It's in the garage. It's in the garage. It's in the garage. He remembers one of Patrick and Sydney's cats was staring at the garage with dilated pupils and arched back and its fur standing up. He had to know whether or not it was in there. He had to know if it penetrated his home. So he slowly made his way over to the garage and he jumped as his phone rang, but he ignored it as the wraith had his full and complete focus. He opened the door from the kitchen to the garage and there he saw the wraith floating over the buckets full of the deer bones. It noticed Colin and it went for the door, but he slammed it as quick as he could. He ran up the stairs to his bedroom and again, his mind was racing. But this time, it was saying, it's in the house. It's in the house. It's in the house. He ran up to his room, locked the door, and began willing the wraith away. He looked down at his phone and saw it had been Caitlin that called him. So after taking a few seconds to catch his breath and to calm down, he gave her a call. She asked if he was okay. She said she was reading something and got a very sudden and strong feeling that Colin needed something. He explained that the wraith got into his home and he was upstairs with the door locked, and she quickly came over and they burned some sage. Now that was the final experience he ever had like that with the wraith, and he ended up moving out 6 months later. So he never saw the wraith again, but he says that if he meditated on it, that he could create a psychic link and actually watch the wraith roam around town. Thankfully, it never followed him to his new home. And he started dating Brandy, the first girl.
Oh, I thought he was already.
No, he was with Caitlin.
Okay.
But now he went back to, like, not the guru level, like the wizard level.
Yeah.
And he said that they would actually see the wraith in their minds. But, and this is kind of interesting, tying it back to some of the lore that we talked about. Not that I don't want to give her an excuse. I'm just, you know, trying to connect dots over here. Tying knots, like I think I said you were doing that one day.
Yes.
The relationship became really physically abusive on her end. Like, she started hitting him and physically abusing him. What's interesting is after she started physically abusing him, he was never able to call back the wraith again. Like, he wasn't able to call it back anymore. Like, it's almost, he didn't say this, this is just talking. It's almost like it transferred.
Yeah.
To her.
Yeah. Did she ever mention seeing it again?
I don't know, because they broke up. He moved on. He moved completely out. Like, when he left before, I think it was still in the same area.
Yeah.
Like, a different neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's completely, like, out of there now.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he said he left the relationship, left Fort Collins. But he did say every now and then he will make his way back to Fort Collins, probably to see, like, Sydney and Patrick. But he can feel the Wraith grab his psyche every now and then. And he said it's a total out-of-body experience when it happens. So that is Collins' experience in Fort Collins with a Wraith.
Oh my god.
Let's head to the discussion.
I want
to
f***ing vomit.
So before we get to the discussion, we want to give our new patrons a shout out because we appreciate you. We appreciate the support you're giving us. And really, we're just super excited about all the additional content coming out. So if you want to join, head over to patreon.com or download the app and search Believing Bizarre or go to any of our social platforms. So part of being in the Patreon is you get a shout out on the podcast. So we're going to jump into that right now. So thank you, Georgie Casarubius. If we butcher any names, we apologize.
It's going to happen.
It will happen.
Stephen Blythe.
Kat Lepp.
Lynchy Rosebeck.
Katie.
Audrey.
Brittany Briner.
Kat.
Stephen McGinnis.
Sydney Zellman.
And Jackie Klein. We also went with, if you gave us your last name, we said your last name. If you just gave us a first name, or if you want privacy, you know, just, you know, first name basis.
Make sure you put that down.
Yeah. Otherwise, now, we're also going to be giving out zip codes, forwarding addresses.
Socials.
So. But anyway, so that's that. If you want to join a Patreon again, head to patreon.com. But let's get to the discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, let me ask you this. Do you think what he experienced is a Wraith? And there's no way for you to know. This is just based on feeling and intuition. Like, we can't prove what he did or didn't see. And this, so this is like taking a step back, whether or not we believe he had a real experience. This is like, okay, he experienced everything he said he did. We're at the believable part for right now. Do you think it was a Wraith?
That's such a... It matches a lot of the qualities of a said Wraith. Like, It is a skeleton-like thing in a black thing. It kind of floats. There's that connection that's mental.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems bonded to him, or did seem bonded to him.
I don't know why it would be there. I don't know if they just like float around looking for something. I don't think you said that.
That's what the lore is. Is they just kind of float around. Some of the lore says that they are intelligent and they're aware of what's happening and they hunt people down. But more of what I saw claims that, like I said, they're an impression. They're not thoughtful. They just roam. And when it's like being in a dark room with a light source. You are just going to navigate towards the light. So this soulless creature is just roaming around, floating, looking for a source to take from. And whether it happened earlier on, whether it was part of the reason why the dude left, you know, whether the workout, who knows? But for some reason, at least for the extent of this episode that he told us about, that, you know, that part of his life, it seemed like it was bonded to him.
It did. But if that's the case, why didn't it happen sooner?
Well, he just moved in. It wasn't that long after he moved in that it happened.
It was October is when he saw it. No, it was before October. But that's the first time it attacked him.
Let's see. It was about a month.
Okay.
But this thing, it's not like this thing is staking outside his ground.
That's true.
And he is apparently a very sensitive individual when it comes to paranormal. Maybe that makes him more of a target.
Maybe.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know enough about it. I'll be honest. When I was reading his story, when I was imagining it just being a ghost, because I didn't know what a Wraith was the first time I read through it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. I'm like, wow. Not that I ever thought it was unbelievable. But after researching the Wraith and learning more about the lore, it definitely made it easier to connect certain dots.
It strengthens the argument.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because, and I didn't really think about it until later on. And again, I don't want to justify somebody who physically abuses anybody. It's almost like giving somebody a way out. I'm not trying to do that. But I wonder if there was like a transition in bonding.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if it went over to her and it started causing that negativity, because he did say after she started abusing him is when he stopped pretty much getting any connection with the wraith. He couldn't even mentally, like, pull it anymore during his meditation.
Mm-hmm. Is that such a bad thing, though?
No, that's amazing for him. Seriously, yeah. If you search anything, if you search, like, I'm experiencing a wraith, or it's like, I think a wraith is bonded to me, what do I do? Most of it is like, God, that sucks. Like, first of all, sorry. Like, it's a bad, like, they are negative entities. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're parasitic. They're leeching off of you. They're taking your energy, your happiness. You know what I mean? So it sucks for Brandy if that's what happened. And because she lost Colin, because he's my dude. But you know what I mean? Like, it's good for him. It is a good thing.
Yeah. From what he told us and what your research gave us, I would assume that, yeah, this does sound most like a wraith.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like anything else I could think of.
No, no.
It does remind me a little bit of the Irish Revenant, which I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't know a ton.
Similar concept, except it's a corpse, not a ghost, I think. I watched, someone's going to correct me. But that's what I remember it being, that someone comes back to hunt someone that did the wrong.
So it's more, it has more intent.
It does, yeah.
Where this could almost, in some lore, it's just kind of randomly floating, looking for a source to kind of take from.
A wraith floating in the Highlands in Scotland. Imagine that. I wonder how it got to America.
You like the Highlands.
I do. Beautiful.
Yeah, see, that doesn't hit me like that, but I know the things that hit me, like my aesthetics. So I'm putting myself in that place for you with that.
That sounds right.
So yes.
Yes.
It's a very interesting thing to like if you go to the hospital or if you go to a doctor and you have something, like you have a staph infection or you have something that you literally have and you have to do something about it. You know, I guess in the greatest form, it's cancer. Maybe not the greatest, but you know, I mean, that's like one of the biggest ones people deal with. And it's mm-hmm. like life shattering, so to speak. But it's like, you know where to go. You know what to do. It sucks. Not always a great outcome, but there's like a path to follow. The way that this is set up, it's kind of like you could be screwed, but what do you do? It's
yeah,
like, it's kind of like something you don't prepare for, that if you get bonded with a wraith and you just have to deal with that for the foreseeable future. Like I said, some people don't even know that it's bonded.
It didn't sound like Colin knew.
But he saw it. I think some people don't even see it. So he was at least aware of it. But it's just kind of like, what do you do? Like, it's tough to put yourself in that situation, I think, unless you've been there. Because for us, it's kind of like a fantasy story that somebody else's experience happened that we're getting to talk on.
I would call my aunt. That's what I would do.
That's true. You have a source.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, but seriously, imagine that feeling that you have something that you can't explain, this paranormal entity that is latched onto you and is really following you around daily, sucking your energy and life. It's like, how helpless must you feel?
Yeah. I, you know what is surprising to me was that the doors seem to stop it to an extent.
Yeah. You know what? It almost... That's the interesting thing, because it did stop it at first, but clearly the last time he did shut the door to the garage and he did shut the door to his house. So it's almost like it was gaining enough power
yeah.
and energy
mm-hmm.
that the doors no longer mattered.
Yeah, because, I mean, how else would it, like, break through? And it was floating over the deer bones.
Yeah.
Which is super
interesting. It's like it felt that, like, recent death,
mm-hmm.
and it was, like, drawn to it. It's creepy. One follow-up thing that I want to add, because I did get an email from him because I clarified one thing. Even though during his workout, when he was like, huh, a wraith, and, you know, kind of taking it in stride, he did say when he saw it physically, he got absolutely terrified. Like, there was that feeling of terror. I think you got that the further the story went. Because at first, you know, he asked his boss was like, oh, it's probably just feeling things out. But as it went on, he really did get terrified. But interesting, he started almost taking on the feelings, like when he would mentally see the wraith and he saw it roaming around, which what he said, and obviously he doesn't know what we're talking about right now, what he said kind of adds to the bonding quality of it, because he said he actually started to feel sad and sympathy himself, because he would view it being out by itself alone roaming around.
Man, that gave me shivers too.
Like, he was taking on its feelings and its experiences. And he said that the moment that he left Fort Collins, it was gone and he started completely forgetting about it.
Wow.
Definitely seems like there was bonding going on.
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. Damn it. I'm tired of this.
I'm not going to lie. I started skeptical the first time I read it. Not because I don't believe what he saw, but it was a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
But the more, now that I know more about the Wraith and the lore, man, it seems like this thing bonded to him.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like, it's a bad bond.
Bad bond.
It's a bad bond.
That sounds like investing, which is also gross. Not investing. Investing's great, but you got to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, where on the believability scale, hashtag believability scale, TM, trademark. It's not actually trademark, but please don't go out there and do that, y'all. Where do you land?
Unbelievable.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, it's like, no, that would have been a really good turn of events. I would have been shocked, actually, if you'd went unbelievable.
So for me, I want to go believable,
mm-hmm.
but I think I'm viable because I just need to hear more detail.
More details?
More details.
It is a lot. They're like, which actually helps me lean, like, I'm going believable. Mm-hmm. Like, I already believe in ghosts, and it's just so much detail. And like I said, I was more in the skeptical viable range, but after learning more about the Wraith and it just fitting, and it's like he didn't even know at the time. Like, he just had heard about it and it fit what he physically, like skeleton-like shadow creature or entity with the hood floating. Oh, must be a Wraith. You know what I mean? Yeah. But then you hear his story and then you learn about the Wraith and it's just like, dang.
It fits really well. It fits almost like a puzzle piece.
Too well. Too well.
Too well.
Too well. But I say believable. So, thank you for listening. That was our listener submission episode, the Fort Collins Wraith. Remember, if you want your personal paranormal encounters on this podcast, on Believing the Bizarre, head to our website, believingthebizarre.com, and go to submit your experience. Fill out all the form. Please give us as much detail as possible. Makes for the best stories. And we would appreciate that. And your story could be on the podcast.
Yeah, Colin, this was presented very well. Incredible. Because there was so much detail in it.
I also appreciate how quickly he got back. Because literally, he submitted this the beginning of the year. And I told him right away, I'm like, hey, it might be a while. And I sent him a follow-up email like a day or two ago. And he was like, I got you. Boom. Like, dang.
He was ready for it.
I don't check my email that much. I probably should.
I don't. But yeah, thank you so much for giving this great... I'm sorry it happened to you, but thank you for this great story. And like I said, I went viable. But what we can do is we will eventually get to you on a listener interview for the Patreon, which is something that we do, where we interview the people that have given us a story for the show. And we give them the third degree in person.
Pretty much. You have to sell us again.
Yeah.
It's like we interview you and you have to prove to us that you weren't lying. Just kidding. It's not actually like that at all. Normally, it's just like, oh my God, did that really happen? Or tell us about this. Or I want to know a little bit more about this. It's a great opportunity to get the information directly from the source and get some of the questions asked that were on your mind.
And every time we've done it so far has just been so much fun.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for listening and for all the reviews. We're so close to 100 reviews. We like posting those. We like seeing them. So thank you, everybody, that has left us a 5-star review and those that are on the verge of doing it.
And again, if you're liking the show and you're like, oh man, I want to hear more, we have Patreon. We have so much cool stuff planned for Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
That I am so excited. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
We just dropped a director's cut video of us talking about our very first episode and some of the behind the scenes stuff. So if extra content like that is up your alley, check it out. But anyways, we appreciate you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.